The conference is now being recorded. Please go ahead.
Very good. This is Steve Holston, Vice Chair of the CCT Work Group. Glenn, would you please, this meeting is called to order. Glenn, would you please do a roll call?
Yes, certainly, Steve. On the call, we have Steve Holston, who is the Vice Chair and who is a registry constituency representative. And we have Chris Chaplow, who is a business constituency representative. And for staff, we have Julie Headland, Rob Hogarth, Ken Bauer, and Glenda Saint-Germain, myself, who is the secretariat.
Very good. Thank you. I think that we have a fairly succinct agenda here, although I guess I would like to spend most of the time doing a bit of brainstorming, in large part about the scope of our mission here and how to best approach this. We've been doing some a bit of education thus far, but part of what we're going to need to do is to scope out exactly how much we want to tackle. Ken Bauer and I actually met for lunch earlier today and did a little bit of thinking and talking. The first thing on the agenda really is to review the learnings from the web team call last week with ICANN. And we appreciate the large participation by the ICANN staff in last week's meeting. I personally found it to be useful and also a bit challenging to keep track of, and I think it was helpful in reviewing the minutes from last meeting that Julie put together to even see where things fit into the overall discussion and structure. When talking to Ken, he had suggested that he was in a position to summarize, I think, a couple of the big picture points that we needed to take away from last week's meeting. So, Ken, if you'd be willing to share your thoughts on that, I think that would be instructive.
Be happy to. I'm going to try, rather than sort of walk through the minutes, I want to take a different approach, and we can loop back if it's not working. The conference call with the web team, with the whole ICANN infrastructure, focused for me a couple of things. First, there are two important sort of high-level ways to think about any major system development activity. And one of them, the first, I think, and usually the one that goes first, is the requirements development side of it. And so there was some discussion in that web conference call around the requirements. I made reference to a document that Penelope Wren and I wrote and delivered to David Conrad. Actually, Denise delivered it to him. Back in September, that was an attempt to create a full set of business requirements for the GNSO. That was its intent. That's what we did. And so there was some discussion on the call about that, and I'm not sure how much people remembered all the details, but let me sort of net out what I think was said. First, that document, and I'm going to agree with this accusation because it is sort of a... It was developed originally by Penelope in the early going, and I think she had some outside help. It came from a SharePoint portal server, Microsoft underpinning. And when I got involved at Denise's request to help get that document ready to go, I noticed all of that. And I did my best to try to help Penelope, and we worked on getting rid of a lot of that. But unfortunately, and I use the example, it's a little cancerous. You know, when you start the whole project with a SharePoint beginning, it's like a cancer. You can't get it all out, so to speak. You clean it up a lot, but it still had that in there. And so when other people in ICANN look at the document, they can see that it had a system orientation, not a requirements orientation. Okay, so where are we? That document has a lot of excellent work in it. And it is really, I think, a tremendously useful place to start this whole thing, but it does need to be, if not rewritten, it needs to be cleaned up. It needs to have some of that SharePoint stuff fully extracted from it. And it needs to be done, and this is the second thing that occurred in that ICANN meeting, it needs to be done under the auspices of an ICANN fully funded or fully accepted project. So you heard some discussion on the ICANN call about creating a charter, not the same charter that we've already gotten from the OSC, but a charter from the project management auspices at ICANN, which would then take the requirements work that we produce as a team and make it fully accepted and certified up through the ICANN infrastructure. Okay, so the second thing that system development activities normally embrace is implementation. I wrote some of this stuff up, by the way, in an email that I put out on the list on Sunday. So I think what you do normally is you start with what would we like to see in an improved communications website, and then after you figure out what you want, then you start building it. And that may or may not be an area that this team actually wants to even get involved with. If it did want to get involved with it, I believe it has to be thought about in a much narrower context than what the full set of requirements would deal with. Then, so to link back to the website call, there was a lot of discussion about document management. Pause there for a second.
Sorry, Ken.
I hear the airport. Okay, that's great. Thanks. Yeah, I addressed the airport. In terms of the sort of implementation side, okay, then there was a lot of discussion on the ICANN call about document management. And the reason that comes up is because it's frequently, and it was in our case when Penelope and I wrote our document, it was a business requirement to create tools and technologies that allow people to share and co-author, to check in and check out documents, to save versions, to be able to redline and to see who made what comment. All that capability is usually wrapped up in requirements associated with document management. The problem is, from an ICANN technical point of view, it's not implementable, right? So when I say it's not implementable, it's not easily implementable. There are problems when you take an organization like the GNSO or ICANN, where people come to it as volunteers, and they come with Macintosh operating systems, they come with Linux, Unix, they come with who knows what all, right? And people use different authoring tools. Some use text-based only tools. Some use a sophisticated Microsoft Word document tools. Some use, who knows, Lotus. And to try to find a document management system that would let people participate in using all those different elements that I just articulated seamlessly is nearly impossible. Then you heard some discussion on the call where ICANN said, well, we're doing something internally. We're going to create a document management project, or actually they've already started one, for the staff. And then I said, well, can that be ported to the rest of the world? And the answer is, well, probably not. Well, how is it that the ICANN staff can do it if the GNSO can? And the answer turns out to be, and they said this on the call, they can constrain the environment. So they can say, we're going to build a document management system for ICANN staff, but we're going to maintain and insist everybody use Windows Vista. We're going to maintain. Everybody's going to use a Dell computer. Everybody's going to be on a Microsoft authoring tool like Word, and they're going to specify what particular version it has to be, minimum. And when you start to put those kind of constraints around it, then document management systems materialize in the industry that will solve the problem.
Okay.
Okay. So the way I look at it. With respect to those tasks that this team has to deal with in the communications umbrella surrounding improving website and other technologies, it's really a requirements job first. And then, if there's time and if there's interest and if there's a particular narrow scope we could work on, like, for example, content management, then we could pick that up and start working on it as well. Let me stop there and see if I'm, how I'm doing.
No, I think that's extremely helpful. And I personally think that there are those two things that you need to address. One is what the requirements are, and the next is implementation. I think you can't be totally blind to the implementation when coming up with your wish list, because if you are, you'll end up with wish lists that say things like I want a flying car. That would be really helpful if I had a flying car, and it's not possible to actually create. So there has to be some balance in keeping things bounded within the real world, and even potentially within budget constraints. So I think first the team needs to come up with the requirements and what the wish lists are, but I don't think they can be done wildly.
Yeah, that's a good point. And incidentally, one of the reasons that people oftentimes write business requirements by looking at a real system is they reverse engineer it. They look at SharePoint Portal Server and they say, man, it does everything I could possibly hope for. And then somebody says, well, we need a requirements document. We're not doing anything till we get, great, I'll just take everything that SharePoint does and I'll write it as a requirement, and then when you specify it, I'll get my SharePoint system, right? I mean, frequently people do things like that. In the world I came from in software development, a lot of customers write RFPs that way. They bring in a bunch of vendors, they have them do demonstrations, they say, we like that one, and then they get the requirements written so that it favors that one, and then they award it. So you're right. We do have to write requirements that are implementable. One of the ways I might suggest that we do that is to engage the ICANN technical staff as team members, or at least one, or maybe somebody like a Mark Salvaterra or Ritza, or somebody, Ritza, could be involved with the team sort of to keep us from developing something that is not achievable.
Yeah. Now, Chris had made a point which you responded to, Ken, that we shouldn't spend too much time focusing solely on the website as opposed to document management, for example. And I think one of the things we need to do with this communications working group is to decide whether we want to broaden the scope of what we're trying to do, or come up with business requirements for, whether we want to do that beyond what those ICANN board recommendations were, because at some point, I think it was, a week or more ago, Mason had sent around a checklist, an OSC communications work team, ICANN board recommendations draft checklist. And that sets out those general four categories. There's the website issue and the feedback, or the poor organization and inconsistent document management session or problem. Then there is the few formalized and institutional channels through which the GNSO may communicate with the board or others. Is that it? There are only three of them? In any event, if that is what we are taking as our mission or our raison d'etre, then there is a good amount of work that has already been done on those areas in the business requirements document that Penelope came up with and that you had worked on, Ken. And it's not a perfect meshing, but it does, even that business requirements document does track those areas. It tracks, for example, as subsets under website, it tracks collaboration tools and wikis and blogs and all of those sorts of things.
Yes, it is a very comprehensive document, and it definitely embraces all of the technology areas the board cited. It does not address the non-technology areas that are part of the communication team's set of tasks, right? One of them deals with improving communications between other ICANN structures. The requirements document is silent on that subject.
Yeah.
Other than as tools are developed, they could be applied to those problems, right? But they don't explicitly deal with them.
Okay,
I think
so,
that
and it does... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, it's Chris speaking. I think in some ways there may be a decision on is it three or is it four major subjects, and that is that perhaps document management shouldn't come under the website. It should be a separate subject, however we deal with it.
See, I would disagree with that. May I just say why? In the technology world, the document management is, okay, when we use the term website, sometimes we could refer to it as, well, it's that thing you go to where you click on stuff, right? It's the window into the GNSO. But I look at it as much broader than that. A website is a delivery mechanism. It's simply the methodology by which you get to all the tools and all the functions and all the documents and all the content that you need to do the work. And so a document management system would be delivered through the website, right? At least it would be ideally.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You could have a document management system that we have today in which everybody just shares emails and they redline Word documents and you try to number them some way so they don't get all tangled up with each other, but that's not what we would call, that's not an automated document management system. If we built or if we prescribed that a document management system should be built, it should be delivered through the web interface. And so as a result, I would put it inside of the web architecture.
Right. Okay. Well, I can live with that. We can write that down as a basis. There were some other questions I had really on the checklist, and through the documents, through the LSE report and other places, they kept saying, low external visibility of the GNSO, and that sort of goes right the way through it, and perhaps things like that also need to go onto our checklist, so that one of the requirements is that the GNSO website is developed in a search engine friendly manner. So
yeah.
When people type in GTLDs, they'll come across the GNSO website ahead of some of the others, hopefully.
Yes, I think you're exactly correct there, and that's and well said. And if and when we get a chance to go through the dark document that Penelope and I worked on, you will see search capabilities as one major category that was originally specified.
Yes. And even what may be outside our parameters, I don't know, is something like, should there be a GNSO logo, which is, the ICANN logo with GNSO under it, or something like that, a little bit like the ICANN, ALEC did for one of their conferences.
Possibly. Yeah, it wouldn't be a business requirement for a web technology, but it's certainly tangentially related, I suppose, yeah.
So there's these issues flying around, you see.
You do ultimately have to paint a screen when you do a website, so... All those things, the taxonomy of the structure, the look and feel, the navigation, all those things have to be specified in the requirements. And indeed, you'll see those all there if and when you have a chance to read that business requirements document that I sent out a while ago.
Okay. Well, I guess we need to... So that we're all marching forward and making progress, I guess, we should decide upon whether that OSC Communications Work Team, ICANN Board Recommendations Draft Checklist, whether that is broad enough in scope to capture all of the activities that we think we need to address. And Chris is suggesting a couple things that it doesn't cover. It sounds like as to the website, we can fill in a lot of the detail by virtue of this business requirements document, and maybe the action item will be with regard to the website and potentially the document management system to look at that business requirements document and figure out if there's anything beyond that that we actually want to recommend. I think that business requirements document was done over a period of time with considerable effort expended, and I would like to refresh and revitalize that document as is needed, but to build upon it so that we've already got a lot of progress based upon that. Now, the other areas of the checklist beyond the website and document management, if those things are not in this business requirements document, then that we need to at least put a little bit more of a structure and an outline as to what we're seeking to achieve. And I suspect that there too there are some recommendations from the board that can guide us. Does anybody else have suggestions or ideas as to how we go about scoping and taking next steps here?
I wonder if, as one start, whether the people on the team, anybody's got, say, suggestions that they have, they experts, but got experience in certain areas. I wonder if that's something that people could sort of volunteer.
It's hard, isn't it, right now, Chris, when you and I are the only non-ICANN volunteers here, we should start divvying this stuff up and giving it all to Mason and the unrepresented folks.
This is Ken. I just pulled up the checklist. I hadn't done that while the earlier conversation was going on. I wonder if it would be helpful for me just to go through the checklist and tell you which ones I think are not in the requirements document.
Yeah, and I even think that checklist, as I look at it, part of the reason I thought there were four items and there are only three shown on the checklist, I don't see the language and translation as being, let's see.
Yeah, there's a translation plan on the top of page two.
Top of page two. Prepare a translation plan for documents associated with policy development. Okay, so that is in there as a subset. Okay, Ken, go for it.
And you know, maybe Julie can just keep track of it for me. So the first one, which is the visibility, I think that's in the scope. Collaboration tools, portal, search, content, business processes, those are categories that came right out of the business requirements that I actually gave to Julie to prepare this chart from. So they're all in scope. They're in that particular one.
Yeah, they track very closely, and that was part of my question last week to ICANN. Did all of this effort stem from the board recommendations, or did it lead to the board recommendations, or which was first?
That came up on the call too, and it stemmed from the board recommendations.
Got it. Which is perfect. So we're all tracking there.
Yeah, it went much further beyond the board recommendations, but I think that's exactly what the board was hoping for. When they say you should go do the A, B, C, D, they don't mean and also don't consider E, F, G, and H if they apply, and that's exactly what we've done so far. So yes, I think we're tracking beautifully there.
Okay, got it.
The next one is institutional channels. I would say that's not explicitly within the business requirements scope for a technology solution.
Where is institutional channels, Ken? You mean the general category of improving GNSO's abilities to solicit meaningful feedback?
Actually, I think Ken is referring to the one after that. Ken, did you skip over the one that talks about document management?
Apologize. I hit the scroll button and I went right to the next page. All right, so I left off on poor organization and inconsistent document management. That is in scope.
It is.
Yes. Absolutely in the scope of a technology solutions business requirements for the same reasons I wrote in my email and I just described a minute ago when Chris brought it up. Document management is a set of enablers, capabilities, and tools that would be delivered through a web interface. And so they are in the scope of generally when you think about building a website.
When I'm tracking your business, the Penelope and Ken Bauer business requirements document, I see in section 3.1 all of those collaboration portal search content, business processes, and then in 3.2 the shared services, so user interface, navigation, et cetera. Where is then the next? Is that under the platform services requirements, library storage, security management, deployment?
You may remember Mark Salvatierra making a comment. Some of this is terminology. In the document, if you look three above where it says content management, you'll see authoring, versioning, workflows, check-in, check-out, document security. Those are all document management capabilities.
Okay.
It's just that they got lumped in under content management. So you can think of a document as just another form of content. And instead of saying there's a document management problem, you could say there's a content problem, a content management problem, of which documents are one element.
I see.
And so when we wrote the requirements, we simply took document management things and we put them under the content management label. Now, Mark Salvatierra commented on the call. He said, you know, I really wish people wouldn't do that. Content management doesn't refer to document management. Okay, sorry. When we go forward, we can fix that. We can add a new category and call it document management and put all of the things that belong under that label and then change content management to mean something different than it did in the way we wrote it.
Okay, well,
this is just linguistic. We're just talking about language and how people and what meaning we assign to different words and terms.
Yep, understood.
Okay.
I guess we will need to make sure that we have our own separate business requirements for each of those categories under the improve the ability to solicit meaningful feedback. So if that is neatly a category within the Penelope and Ken business requirements, then we could just lift it. But in absence of that, we probably better either restate it or come up with something new. Okay, so keep going.
Okay, so the next one says prepare a revised process for gathering and addressing public comment on policy issues. I would say that that's explicitly not in the scope.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean it might turn out that in the solution of requirements, right, or in the solution that the team comes up with for developing a process for gathering and addressing public comment, it says, you know what we really ought to do is we ought to have a really cool website-driven process where people can put their comments online and they're going to a database and they're searchable and so forth and so on, and there's certain privacy regulations and if we did that, then it would be in scope, at least that portion of it, right? Because the technology solution, if we think that the solution to that problem ought to be from the technology side, then that requirement should get written in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
The next one says take into account developments in technology that facilitate community interaction. I'm not even really sure how to interpret that. It could be so broadly or narrowly interpreted. Theoretically, if we produce a technology solution for GNSO that provides document management, content management, collaboration, we will have achieved what the meaning of that sentence is, I think.
Yeah.
Right, and we are going to take into account developments in technology because it would make no sense to go back 20 years.
That's not in the Penelope document.
Not explicitly.
Okay, got it.
All right, a translation plan? No, not explicitly in the scope. Although Rob might want to comment here, because I think there are people in ICANN working on this problem that might mean we should, if we considered it at all, we should consider it as a last item rather than a foremost item.
Yeah, I think that needs to be a component of the work team's discussions at some point. And last fall, the policy team within ICANN developed its own policy for translating documents. It might be useful at the appropriate time to share that with this team for you all to have an opportunity to analyze it and provide feedback. It's just right now been an internal document, but I think it has wider applicability.
Okay. The next one says recommend ways to monitor and improve effectiveness. I'm not sure that's actionable as it's written.
Yeah.
The next one says there are very few...
Can I just come in there, sorry, Ken?
Sure.
I mean, of course, to do with the website and the statistics and the analytics and all that side of it, if you look at it in that, it does appear historically that nobody's paid much attention to that, and that might be what it's referring to.
That's an excellent interpretation of that statement, and probably we should take that under advisement and say it that way. If we said recommend ways to monitor and improve the effectiveness of said technology solution and capability tools, that would be that would help to narrow it down, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, the next one says there are very few formalized and institutional channels through which the GNSO Council may communicate with board and other senior representatives across ICANN. And then the recommendation was to improve GNSO's coordination with other structures. I would say that's probably not explicitly in the scope.
Okay. Okay, so we now have a better sense of what is and is not in the business requirements doc that was previously written. And I guess if we think of this checklist, again, as this is our wish list. It's that you've made the distinction between it's not technology driven, it's technology agnostic. We're not writing to a SharePoint spec. Instead, we're saying what we want. Are there things that anybody else can identify right now that are noticeably absent from this checklist?
There's a few things that I need to bring in. I'm not sure I can bring them in now, specifically, other than, you know, the comments I made earlier about visibility and things like that. But maybe we could put an action on all team members to, by next week, or add to the list any suggestions of things that we should also be bringing in, and then we can rule those out or include them in on next week's call.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Ken. I do have a thought. I don't know whether I should. Now I'm gonna launch outside of my own. I've been arguing and talking about technology all this, but you know, one of the things that I think about when I hear the term communications, and I got my doctorate in that field, sort of. But I think of you know, it's one thing to increase communications, which would just mean we talk more at each other. But there's quite another area in that. Are we communicating effectively, and is meaning being shared between people well? And are we addressing each other in ways that make it possible for meaning to be shared? And so, there's a whole other surrounding area of this topic of communications and improving it that I don't think is reflected yet in any of what I've read in the board recommendations or in anything we've talked about or on any of the checklists. And I don't know whether it's something we want to add or even move into, but I wonder if there aren't some ways that, without increasing the actual amount of communication, we can increase the quality of it.
Yeah, it sounds a good point. And this is the sort of thing that underlies a lot of the LSE and the various reports that we've seen, although nobody's going into any details, are they? Or in the when the constituencies or the individuals have come back on their comments to the reports, everybody said, yes, we want to improve communications. But I think they got tired because this is point three at the end of the list, and everybody just said yes, haven't they? Yeah.
You know, I mentioned a short little vignette just to illustrate what I meant when I was having lunch with Steve earlier. I've noticed that in ICANN, it's commonplace for people not to name each other in email messages, right? They just write their sentences, but they don't say, Dear Rob, Dear Ken, or Dear Ken and Julie, Dear Steve and Chris. You know, everywhere I grew up, you always did that. You always said who you were speaking to, and you identified them in an addressee list. Now, you say, oh, that's pretty silly. Well, but you should see how many times I am confused when I see emails land in my inbox, and I don't know if they're addressed to me or not. Then you have to go up and look. Am I a CC, a blind copy? Am I a to-list? And it's just, that might be, there might be some norms of behavior that we could introduce into ICANN as part of this team's effort that would improve the quality of communications and meaning that aren't necessarily technology at all.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, the use of the to and the CC more clever, carefully sort of things, yeah.
Well, I'm struck by being on some of these mailing lists, like the Registry's constituency list or this group. There is a convention that maybe it's for openness and transparency that everybody essentially hits a reply all with every conversation that happens. Within the Registry's constituency, if you want to confirm that you're going to attend something or you have a comment, you reply to absolutely everybody, and it really does clutter your inbox considerably, and it makes it difficult to separate out the wheat from the chaff and figuring out what's actually important and what is just essentially a CC for your information if you actually have time.
Another good example. That's another great example. There might be just a set of the team might be able to come up with a set of 12 high level norms for communications between personnel within ICANN that could in some sense or other significantly improve the quality of communications. I don't know. Anyway, it's an interesting topic, but to me that's not one that I've read yet, unless Rob or Julie corrects me here.
Now, Ken, I haven't seen it. Certainly something that the team could consider whether or not to come up with a set of voluntary guidelines, for instance. I think if there were mandates, they might chafe at them, of course.
How about anybody else on the call, suggestions as to what kinds of things could be added to this checklist? I think that the idea of making an action item on all of the work team members if you have something beyond the list, add it, and then you'll have to justify it, because I don't think we want to bite off more than we can chew here, and I guess the board recommendations are a pretty good indication of the scope of our charter. I would tend to keep things a little more narrow and try to achieve those. I have a sense that Nathan wants to keep our mission pretty broad. So I think adding to or subtracting from this checklist is an important exercise. And once we get the checklist established, then we can start to assign or divvy up the tasks that are subtasks within the checklist. And I think, Chris, your suggestion of identifying people's core competencies is probably appropriate at the time that we are doing the divvying up of the tasks.
Yes, yeah. And so the things that we're not going to have are going to be discarded from the checklist, I think it is useful that we say in the report that we're discarding those. I mean, I actually noticed in the LSE document and various others, create a register of all stakeholders on the GNSO. Now that, I think, has got dropped from the board. I don't know where that one went, whether that's conveniently dropped, but if so, I think we should say that we're not considering that, if that's the case. otherwise, you know, somebody will look at the report and say, why didn't you pick this one up?
What was that one again, Chris?
Create a register of all stakeholders.
I think that did get picked up, and I think it's in the constituency operations list. But it doesn't say it that way. I think it talks about creating a common, like, database or registry of all of the stakeholders or all of the participants in constituencies. Rob might have it off the top of his head.
Well, yes, that's it. And I suppose our steering committees will be able to double-check this, that the two of the working groups aren't trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. I think that is in the purview of that other group, Ken. At least they have taken it on, but we can confirm that, Julie. And that's part of the steering committee's obligation, is you all report back as leaders of the work team so that the OSD is comfortable that we don't have that overlap.
Yeah, that's great. We've got enough to do. We don't want to fight for more, do we?
Sorry, this is Julie. I got dropped from the call briefly. But I did want to say that, and you probably already covered this, but yes, I can confirm that that item, creating the registries, is the operations team.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anybody have any suggestions as to what we cover in the remaining roughly 10 minutes that we've got here? I think in my mind, we've made a considerable amount of progress in figuring out what prior work has been done in essentially scoping out the business requirements for at least the website and potentially the document management issue. It's not perfect, and it does need to be updated, but it provides a tremendous amount of progress and headway and advanced thinking, at least. And I know you're in the airport, Chris, so it's probably hard for you to even visualize some of this. And Ken was so knee-deep in this that you're probably all too familiar. But for example, when you're on the checklist and you're looking at collaboration tools, there's an actual business requirement category within that Penelope report for documents, which has as requirements provide for a document collaboration function that includes ability to check in and out documents locally, offline document library support and email client, major and minor version numbering and tracking, support for multiple content types in multiple languages, policy auditing and workflow functionality, tree view support. That gets you a good amount of the way there. Wikis that gives more requirements. I'm not sure how much additional work we would choose to do within that, whether we would supplement those business requirements, or whether we would then move to the next step of describing what the implementation of that may look like. Anybody? Reactions? Thoughts?
Yeah, this is Ken again. I think what we could do, right, is literally just as you did, right? If we were now on a sub team and we were working on this business requirement, and this was our task, was to produce the final version of that, I think we would go about it the way you just did. We would read a paragraph and say, well, all right, what do we think about that? And then, you know, we might need some expertise to be brought in to tell us, for example, that the way certain things are stated is not helpful. For example, in that document, in certain places, I was not smart enough to know how to take out language that tells other technical people he's talking about SharePoint. Right?
Okay.
So, for example, let's just take a simple one. I don't know if this is true or not, but it'll illustrate what I'm talking about. There's a category called portal services, right? In that document, it's called portal services. And inside portal services, there are a number of different things that are listed, just as you ticked off the ones for collaboration. Well, portal services, what if it turned out that's a SharePoint-owned word? And anytime anybody who's in the Drupal world or anywhere else in the community of technology people, when they hear portal services, they immediately go, Microsoft. Just because that's a word that they've captured and used, and maybe in some cases they've even trademarked it or copyrighted it, who knows. But I'm just using it as an illustration. So what we want to make sure our document doesn't do is use terms that are reserved words technically and connote technology solutions when that's not our intent.
Okay.
So that would be part of the cleaning up activity that we might do. We might actually restructure things. For example, I brought this up earlier. I've got a bunch of authoring and stuff currently under a heading called content management. Now, if we want Mark Salvatore to help us, he'd rather see that stuff under a heading called document management. And so we might start to redraft this document by taking things, putting them in new buckets, changing some of the architecture layout, changing some of the terminology, generalizing in some cases. In other cases, maybe being more specific. We might take some things out because they're too granular. It would be that sort of activity I'm imagining. I don't think this first set of activities we should think anything about implementation, other than, as you generally commented earlier, that we don't want to specify put a man on the moon.
Right. Would you say, Ken, and Chris in particular, that this initiative that we're undertaking is an improvement process? We're not building from zero, but rather we're improving. And I'd like to figure out if these business requirements that we're stating in four broad categories, are we doing initial architectural blueprints, or are we describing the changes that we are going to make? And here's what I'm getting at. Let's just say that we're dealing with a car, and we know that this car, it's got rust on the outside, the blinker doesn't work, and the wipers don't work. You don't need to start describing from the ground up. We need to create a vehicle that's got four wheels and that does X, Y, and Z. But rather, we need to say, you know, here's the way to fix this and approach this. We need to fix the blinker and those other things I mentioned. If you state a business requirement in a manner like we need to be able to clearly indicate to other traffic that we intend to make a turn, when all we really want to do is say fix the doggone blinker, I think we could expend a lot of extra effort and energy and not be very clear about the actual improvements we're seeking to achieve.
Well, maybe it's a two-stage process, because what we're doing with the requirements is saying we want windscreen wipers, and then perhaps the second stage is to see, well, the ICANN website has got some windscreen wipers already, but they're broken, so it needs mending. Or the ICANN website hasn't got any windscreen wipers, so we're going to have to create some.
I like that interpretation. I agree with you. I think you can, however you want to think about it, the GNSL website, as we know it, is going to die. It is not going to survive this or any other effort. It's going to die. And even if we don't, even if our requirements isn't what kills it, it's going to be killed by Mark Salvatore for completely other reasons. He cannot continue to support the GNSO the way it's being done now, just from a content management perspective. And he said that on the call. He said, I have to constantly post things in multiple places. you know, if I put it all in a database, which is not now, if I put it all in a database, then I can reference it more easily. I can move things around. So the current site is going to die. Now, does that make it not an improvement effort? I don't think so, because you could look at it this way. What we're not doing is we're not improving the car we take to work. We're improving the transportation system that we use to get to work, which might, in this case, call for replacing the car.
Yeah. Boy, it's a real challenge to not be technology focused, but rather requirements focused, because the easy way to go about all of that is to say, I want a car like that one. There it is. That's what I want.
Well, that's what I said earlier. That's why people oftentimes start with a SharePoint Portal server, and then they develop it, re-engineer the requirements, because I've already seen what I like, and I'm willing to live with it, right? So I can skip all that and move to it. But the people that are in the project management methodology, the people who are in the architecture positions at ICANN, understand that you, to do it right, you should really start from the needs and not from the answer. And the reason that, although it's very attractive to do so, sometimes you can find yourself in a pickle. Let me give you a perfect illustration. SharePoint Portal Server does a lot of things extremely well. It is really an elegant system for collaboration and sharing and document control and all the things that are in our requirements. But you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't handle Macintosh's and Windows computers seamlessly.
Yeah.
So if you start with the solution and you say, boy, it does everything I want, and then you spend all the money and you put it in, and then you get a little bit down the road and somebody with a Macintosh, like Rob Hogarth, tries to do something in terms of document sharing, and he says, hey, this isn't working. And they say, well, you'll have to switch your Macintosh to a Windows computer. He says, well, I can't do that. My corporation or whoever I work for, they standardize on Macintoshes. And guess what? The whole solution comes grinding to a halt because you started with the answer and not with the requirement. If the requirement says it must be multi-platform capable, then you don't develop a solution that is singular platform capable. Does that help?
Yeah,
this is Rob. I'm sorry, this is Rob. I just want to have whatever you guys had for lunch to come up with all these metaphors.
Lobster bisque.
I tell you, Rob, when trying to conceptualize this stuff, I always find it helpful to come up with some analogies, because in the abstract, this is very challenging stuff.
This is great. You guys are putting it in very good terms, I think, for the folks who are going to be listening to the recording and others.
Judging by the actual attendance on the call, I would be amazed if anybody's listening to the recording. all right. Well,
we have a communications problem, and it starts right here.
There you go. All right. Well, I think that we've done some good thinking on all of this, and I guess for those of us in attendance, and I will try to make clear to the rest of the work team who is unable to attend, the action item is to go to that checklist and decide if there's anything else that needs to be added to it or subtracted. I think the sooner we come up with the checklist as being all-encompassing and inclusive, then we can start to break it down into subtasks. And I don't know that we've decided for certain that that's the case. I'm still trying to get straight in my own head. If this GNSO website is going to die, and there is going to be a new one, why it is that we can't just piggyback onto whatever the ICANN site is, and it would be the equivalent of in this tilted analogy, saying the GNSO website is a clunker, and we're going to tow it to the junkyard. And if the ICANN website is a flashy new car, we'll have one exactly like that, and then tailor it a little more specifically to our needs. So that's the website analogy. That doesn't address the communications methods.
Yeah, let me just comment on that. The ICANN website is not the flashy new car that has all the bells and whistles. It is not. And now there are a few other sites that have been created that are in the new Drupal environment, and they do have some of the requirements that are in that requirements. Some of them have been addressed, but only the set that Mark Salvatierra would put under content management, which means things like document sharing, not document authoring or co-authoring, document sharing, just meaning that the document appears one place and it's shared among different sites, things like that. Now, but the GNSO website is not in Drupal.
Okay.
So it would have to be redone.
Got it.
And in fact, that beta site that he walked us through, that's just a starting sort of skeleton framework for what that new site might look like.
Got it.
With no functionality underneath. But he was careful to point out that the problem right now is that in the absence of a set of business requirements, we won't get document management capability and co-authoring and version control. We won't get shared workspaces that allow for multiple authoring, and all those things are not available today in any of the ICANN sites. Some of them are, some things are, much or not.
Okay, hey, well, in the interest of time now, I think we should adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for everybody's participation. Chris, have a great trip to Barcelona. And
thank you. I'm at the gate now.
Steve, just very quickly, Glenn wanted me to mention, just to confirm, that we'll have a meeting at the same time next week. Is that good for everybody here on this call?
Yes, it's good by me.
And then also she wanted me to note that the following week, April 8th, is Passover, the start of Passover, so we may want to query the team to see whether or not that we don't have a call that day. It depends on what the team members want.
I think that sounds very reasonable to skip it that week.
Okay. I'll pass that on to her. She had to leave right at the top of the hour, so I'll let her know.
Very good.
Right. Oh, and I'll also come up with some meeting notes. I'll send them via Ken first to make sure I captured what he was saying before we send them on to you, Steve.
Be brief, Julie, because there was a lot of repetition there.
No, I
think you're right. If you can make sense of that 1 hour's worth of brainstorming, we would all be very grateful.
Okay. I'll give it my best shot.
Yeah, and I'll help.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the week.
Okay, thanks,
thank
everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Chris.